views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Searching for black Jews. Oh, yeah. Black Jews and shit, you know what I mean?
May 8th, 2015, and we have a nice show lined up for you today, and just want to thank you all once again for listening, and I would just ask that you go to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programming that's brought to you by the network itself. This is a place where our issues and our agenda is established, and it's, you know, it's really, really important, because this is the new meeting place where the minds come to meet and decide and develop an agenda that is suffice and represents us. And so this is so important for everyone to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are on Black Talk Radio Network. So if you can make a monetary donation to Black Talk Radio Network, that would be greatly appreciated in order to keep the network bringing you the programming and finding new programming and actually facilitating some of the needs that we have. This is a great place to sow good seed for that to continue. Also, after Tando Radio Show, check out the new Abolitionist Radio, the great shows that are there, programming that's there. It's definitely another show to edify what you have been starved of, and it's so important that we have our own shows based off of our productions. You know, we don't need the Emmys, we don't need the Grammys, we don't need the Oscars, we don't need any of that. What we need to establish is our own self-reliance in all facets, because that's how culture is established. Kind of hard to establish a culture that doesn't recognize yours as significant. Remember that. So also would like for you to go to Tando Radio Show. That's T-H-A-N-D-O Radio Show on Facebook. While you stop by there, give us a like. And you can see there we'll have some of the postings from the shows that we're going to have that day. And, you know, just if you have a question or comment, I try to get back to all of that stuff. I get kind of busy, but I need to manage my time a little bit better. But get pulled in a lot of different directions. But you can make comments, or you can see what's going to be on the show there, but I do get to the requests and the comments that are, you know, but I have to get to them in a much more expedient time. So go to Tando Radio Show on Facebook. Also, if you're interested in joining our preparedness group, Real Deal Preppers, which is totally free, you can send me, David Wren, W-R-E-N, a Facebook friend request and request to be put in the group, and we will put you into the group. We just ask that you follow the posting rules, and that's there in the pin post. It will tell you exactly what the posting rules are. We just ask that you only post preparedness related postings and articles and videos inside of the group, because that's what the group is for. Anything else is not wanted or accepted there, because there are other mediums for you to do that, but that's not what we do there, okay? We don't post anything about the games, celebrity stuff, or anything outside of preparedness. So just ask that you follow the posting rules. We greatly appreciate it. And to participate once you become a member. This is not just for a few people to post. It's really for every person that's in the group should be finding something for the group that is relevant and important in preparedness. Be a giver and not just a consumer. Been taught that. So, that's what we have there. Also, if you're interested in taking the precious metals class that I teach, you can send me, David Wren, W-R-E-N, a message on Facebook, or you can call me directly, 951-790-8330. And it's a very important class because you will learn the intrinsic value of precious metals, how to gain interest off of precious metals, what are they really, and what's the history, and how to leverage them, and why are they so significant. Most of us have no clue because we haven't been taught that. We don't speak facts about it. We don't speak historical facts about the precious metals because we really don't know any of the historical facts because that's hidden from you. And you will learn what's the difference between currency and money and why is that so important. So, interested in that class, give me a call also. You can text me, 951-790-8330, or reach me on Facebook, and we'll tell you the class is $400, but I will allow, you know, what we do is you can establish your own payment plan. So, and believe me, everyone that's taken the class has been more than amazed and realized that they should have, you know, they would have paid more knowing the information that they know now, and they know how relevant it is and how to do certain things with it. It's not one unsatisfied person. Everyone that takes the class is put into another group, private group that we have. So it's definitely beneficial too. So today what we're going to do, I posted a lot of articles inside of RDP, and it was a reason why. We're going to have my man Brother Braggs come on in a little bit, but what I want to do is I want to chronicleize some of the things that's been going on and what you should be putting together to come up with. Now you can see a full picture of what's really happening. So, but before we go to that, I have a video that I would want you to hear, and I want you to really to pay attention to what's being said here in this video. Okay, so we're going to go to this video now. Really pay attention to what's being said.
A human being and a person are not the same thing. We've been led to believe that they are, but they're not. In Black's Law Dictionary, you'll find the definition of a person, and it says, a human being is not a person because he is a human being, but because rights and duties have been ascribed to him. Specifically, the person is that legal subject or substance of which the rights and duties are attributes. But not all human beings are persons, as was the case in Old England when there were slaves. You are not a person, you have a person. If you never know that this person exists, if the government is acting upon it and you are unaware of its existence, you're a slave to your own ignorance. The purpose of this person, it wasn't to deceive you, it wasn't to enslave you, it was to provide you with a very strong level of protection against government tyranny. If they never act against you as a human being and they're only acting against your person, you always have the option to reject their governance and therefore escape tyranny totally and absolutely peacefully. They'll tell you, I'm an agent for the government, I'm a peace officer, I'm this, I'm that. No, you are a human being in a common law jurisdiction, and that's all there is to it. That's first and foremost, and I'm not forgetting that. If you remember that, they have to remember that. The key thing about remembering this is you can remember a couple of things. Yes, you can affect them. You can use, they will respond to emotion, they will respond to threats, they'll respond to a baseball bat in the bottom of their knee. They will respond. They will also respond to love, compassion, and truth. They are human beings, and if you treat them with the dignity that all human beings are worthy of, they will respond as a human being as well. Don't look at them as anything more than simply a human being using a tool. And the tool that they are using is words. All they are words. The government is just composed of human beings using words. Take away the human beings, you don't have a government. Take away the words, you don't have a government. You need those two things in order for anyone to come up to you and claim any level of authority over you. If you learn to distinguish between actual law, and there is only three ways to break the law, harm another human being, damage someone else's property, use fraud or mischief in your contracts, You have broken the law. That's the only way to break the law. Statutes are not laws. If you look it up, you'll find that the definition of a statute is a legislative rule of society given the force of law. It's a law, it's a rule that has the force of law within a structured society because somebody gave it that force. Remember, we're all equal here. Who can give those words the force of law? Only you. You have decided to give those statutes the force of law within your societal structure. A society, if you look at the definition of that, it's a number of people joined by mutual consent to deliberate, determine, and act for a common goal. Your consent is required for any statute to have the force of law, and you can spot these, they'll have the word act right in the title. Point out the word act to any government agent asking or claiming authority over you, say, what exactly does that word right there mean? And you will be two steps away from consent. You have every right in the world to stand right up and claim the status of a child of God. But the moment you do that, you do accept a lot of responsibility because then you have to look at everyone else with the same eyes. We want remedy. We want our power back. We want our remedy and we want to hold these people to the... We don't want to beat them up. We want abundance. We want peace. We don't want a life of conflict with these people. And we shouldn't have to dig through the shit they manufacture in order to find the diamonds of our freedom. Fundamental three things you should have learned. One, you are not a person. You have a person. It exists in association with you. Statutes are not laws. They do not apply to you. They apply to your person. And finally, believe it or not, you want your freedom. You want to become a free man on the land. You have to treat these people with compassion, regardless of what they've done to you, and I know how difficult that can be. There's a maxim in law, a Roman maxim that says, let he who would be deceived, be deceived. If you aren't even willing, if someone comes up to you and says, you have to do this, why? Oh, how do you know that? Everybody knows it. Oh, really? Nobody read the act, but everybody knows it. You start reading these acts and you start finding the remedy within it. These people have a duty to understand and to distinguish between statute and law. They've been dealing with us for so long with people who are essentially ignorant that we don't even distinguish between statute and law, so they assume that you are going to be there. They'll say, oh, you broke this statute, you broke a law, I want to give you a ticket. And then they'll say, I need to see your ID, and if you don't show me ID, I'm going to arrest you for obstruction of justice. I've had cops do this to me, SkyTrain cops. The fact is, though, until they see ID, they have absolutely no evidence of the existence of a person who is liable under the statute. So they're putting the cart before the horse. They're saying, I see a human being. The act says person must produce a proof of fare. You're a person. I'm giving you a ticket. Now you have to show me your ID so I can give you a ticket, because they've been told if you don't see ID, you can't give a ticket. They know this, but they're putting the cart before the horse. If they come up to you and they use presumption and assumption so often, they won't even ask you a question. They come to the window, driver's license, registration, insurance, look at them and say, apples, bananas, and pears? You're not making any sense. Like, you used a complete sentence? What is it you want? Do you have a driver's license, registration, and insurance? Or may I see it, is usually what they would ask, because they're operating upon a presumption too. You ask them, are you willing to claim under full commercial liability that I have an obligation to have such a thing in order to exercise my common law rights? And of course you don't. In order to find your free man status, you will need to distinguish. There is a maxim in law that says, he who distinguishes well, learns well. He who questions well, learns well. If you cannot question, you cannot distinguish, you are going to end up being a slave to them. The reason questioning is so powerful, if they ask you a question, you ask them a question right back. We're equal. We're playing tennis. The goal is to get them to answer the question first, answer none of their questions. The reason is, if you are asking questions, the assumption in law must be that you are asking because you don't understand. And you want to understand so you can keep the law. The assumption is, and therefore, as long as you are continually asking questions, they can't do anything. They can't claim you're obstructing justice. They can't claim that you're not that you're in violation of any statute. Just keep asking questions.
Okay, everyone, just wanted to play that. That was by Robert Arthur Minyard. Posted it inside of Tando Radio's show on Facebook, and is known as the Free Men on the Land. And it's a very, you know, it's has some really true points to it all. And the thing about it is that when it comes to your freedom, you have to be willing to give up everything to maintain it, because it's that valuable. So, great, great account of what being a person and a human being, the distinguishing parts of that. So just wanted to play that for you, because that's going to play right into the conversation that we're going to have today and the relevance of it all. But before we get to our guest, Brother Bragg, who I'm so happy to have, what I want to do is that I posted inside of Tando, I posted a couple of things that I want to bring to your attention. And the reason why I want to bring this to your attention, because it's very important. Now, lately we have had the U.S. government, like many other governments, they've been testing things before they make them go live. And what am I saying about that? And why is that so important? Well, it's just like if you are a engineer of, if you make a plane, you engineer a plane, you got a bunch of, you know, people working and they're putting it all together, the engineers, the aerodynamic engineers, all of the, you know, turbine engineers, the jet engineers, everything, they're putting everything together. What is it before they sell it and put it out into the commercial market, or if they put it into the military market, the governmental market, if it's a military plane, what do they have to do? They have to test it to make sure it will work exactly as designed. Because you test things before you make them go into full action. So I want to go across some of the tests that have been done recently so that you can kind of see what is really at hand here. You can make your own decision. And then I think this is going to tie right into the conversation that we're going to have with Brother Braggs as to why would people test these type of things. Who is this really that we're talking about? Who are these so-called imposters of authority? So, one of the first things that I wanted to go to, did you know? Were you aware of the banking collapse that was tested by the government? And inside of Tando Radio Show, and if you look, it says bank apocalypse drill, U.S. and the U.K. to run too big to fail collapse simulator. This happened, this actually happened last year, I believe. Hold on, let me open this up. It actually happened, yes, in 2014, October of 2014. Take a look at that article and read it. Once again, they test everything before they make it go live. Also, the EBT cards that went down in 17 states, which really turned out to be like, I believe it was like 30 states that the EBT cards went down. When did they go down? In October of 2013. Once again, I believe that was a dry run, a test for what was to come in the future. One of the things that they learned about when they shut down the EBT cards was this. They learned how efficient their system was. And some of the things that they learned is that in that system, when they shut down some of the EBT cards, some people had unlimited EBT credits. And so that was one of the bugs that they had to work out. They would have never known that that would have been a bug if they never had tested it. Just like when they make their first test run of an airplane. The plane was designed to do something, but in actuality, there was a bug or a flaw in the overall design. So now you test it. After you create it, you test it to make sure it will do exactly what it is that you want it to do. So we had that. Next, we had the power grid going down simulation that happened, and it was called the power grid go down exercise conducted by the U.S. government. And this was done last year, November 13th and 14th of last year. Take a look at what this entailed of was all of the electrical grid went down. And it was done by the U.S. They actually had some Chinese assistance, some Russian assistance that they don't tell you about, and Canadian and Mexico. All the utility workers and FBI agents and anti-terrorist experts, government agencies, where more than 150 private businesses were involved in the power grid down drill. That was last year. Okay, next, we have Jade Helm that's going on. Then you have something that's quite disturbing. I posted inside of Tando Radio Show, and it says, did Obama plan to nuke America this fall, or is Jim Growler completely nuts? But this is the thing that was so important about that whole article, was the 29 Palms survey. 29 Palms. And the significance about that survey, you could look for it for yourself. This was a survey that was conducted in 29 Palms base, in that's a Marine base out in the desert, out here in Southern California. And they had a questionnaire. The questionnaire, just look at the 29 Palms survey. And then go down to, I'm going to just get to it quick because of the time that we have. Number 46, the question number 46. This was, they had questions that they asked the soldiers. They were Marines, and they specifically asked the Marines because they realized that the Marines would be their biggest adversary in not following their orders that were unconstitutional and unlawful. So what did they do? They had to do a test to see who would participate and who wouldn't participate. And I'm going to tell you what happened from that. Number 46, question number 46, the very last question. The U.S. government declares a ban on the possession, sale, transportation, and transferring of all non-sporting firearms. A 30-day amnesty period is permitted for these firearms to be turned over to local authorities. At the end of this period, a number of citizens groups refuse to turn over the firearms. Consider the following statement. I would fire upon U.S. citizens who refuse to resist confiscation of firearms banned by the U.S. government. And their questions was, do you strongly disagree? Disagree, agree, strongly agree, or no opinion? However, these young people answered that question determined how long they were going to be staying and what they were going to be doing in the military. You don't ask questions like this unless you want to know the answer to it because of your plan. So let's go on. Also, there was the dividend. There were FEMA camps that were created in this country. Then there was the derivatives. And the derivatives means to devise something. They basically had an instrument that was a totally fraudulent instrument, and what they wanted to do was they wanted to put the taxpayers on the hook for derivatives. And derivatives, they're not in the billions, they're not in the trillions, they're in the quadrillions of dollars, which means there's you can't even pay this out with everyone paying it out, the whole world almost 100 years of GDP. So it's impossible. So what did they do? They allowed Congress put in new laws for the U.S. taxpayer to be liable for bank derivatives losses. This was already done and passed. Then before, then this is going to be the last one. One of the things with the banking, also posted inside of Tando Radio Show, the posting that has the actual policy that the FDIC goes under, and it has everything to do with the bank's living will. And it's called the ArnoldPorter.com, from ArnoldPorter.com. You can see it there on Tando. It has the bank's living will. Who in the world would want to be in a bank that has to have a living will? All of them had to have a living will. Why? Because they plan on executing that living will. So now, we're going to bring in Brother Braggs. And why am I saying all of this? What is the significance of this? The very people that you consider the authorities are the very people that have and always will consider you their subject. And they come about laws and so-called perceived authority in order to control you. Just as in the original video said that we just had, you're only subject to what you surrender to. And this is so important. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to bring Brother Braggs in, and we can have a discussion and a conversation and a dialogue about this, and what does this really mean? What does this really mean for you and I and everyone else? So important to have. Brother Braggs, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Brother Braggs, I just want to thank you, brother, for coming on to Tando Radio Show. And we got about 4 minutes before we go to break, but bruh, you heard the video and you heard some of the things that I just ran down. And
hey, look, you know, I was already warning. Look, I pulled this up for you right quick. Economic shock testing. In recent time, the application for operation research and study of the public economy has been obvious for anyone who understands the principle of shock testing. In the shock testing of an aircraft airframe, the recoil impulse of firing a gun mounted on the airframe causes shock waves in the structure, will tell aviation engineers the conditions under which parts of the airplane or whole airplane or its wings will start to vibrate or flutter like a guitar string under pressure. Hmm. Economic engineers achieve the same result in studying the behavior of the economy and the consumer public by carefully selecting a staple commodity such as beef or whatever the commodity may be, and they run that test that you just told them about. And the other thing is introduction to economic amplifiers, which that's when they turn the pressure up to get a desired effect.
Brother Braggs, that's
from William Cooper, Behold a Pale Horse.
That's what I was about to say. That's from Cooper, Behold a Pale Horse. That is a book that everyone should definitely be reading, you know. So, Brother Braggs, that's one that we should post inside of Tando. Let me tell you, Brother Braggs is well-versed and well-read, and it's, you know, some of the things that Brother Braggs has read. We're going to give up, we're going to name that Braggs Recommending Reading for Tando. That's what we're going to start to have, Braggs Recommended.
I got a million of them, baby.
Yeah, I know you do, so we're going to go.
Let me say one thing, man, before we begin. Let me say one thing, brother. Peace to the gods and the goddesses. Peace.
Peace, my brother, peace.
No, I'm ready, bro.
I know you are. I know you are. So this is what today's show is going to be about. Also, go to Tando Radio Show. We're getting ready to come up on a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to delve into this conversation with Brother Bragg and get in on the conversation. 712-775-7035. Participant code 660079. We'll be right back after this quick momentary break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and today's guest, who you will hear from often, is Brother Braggs, who we affectionately call Brother Braggs, and we're talking about the overall agenda and how far this agenda has gone back, and what is really the motivation behind it? What is the objective, and what are some of the methods that they use? And then you may think that you're free, and that's probably always the first indication that you're not. There's a difference between thinking you're free and knowing that you're free. Mark difference. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, you definitely can do that. On today is Friday, and if you'd like to talk about some other things that we talked about this week, you could do that also. But we brought Brother Braggs in for a very specific reason, and this brother has so much great information and knowledge that he would love to share and impart with you, and I just thought that you would be a great receivers of it and will not squander the knowledge that will be passed along to you. So if you'd like to jump in on the conversation, give us a call, 712-775-7035, and the participant code is 660079, and just put pound six and then #1 to let us know that you would like to have a question or comment, and I will get to you. I don't like to keep our callers waiting. So now, and with that being said, let's talk to Brother Braggs. Brother Braggs, once again, thank you for coming on. And let's jump into this conversation, Brother Braggs. You know, when we just read, and I just gave all these examples and posted them inside of Tando Radio Show, and I want to thank you for a lot of the postings that I haven't even gotten to that you sent me that I need to share with everyone else.
If you read them, I know you know what to do with them, bro. I know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'm definitely going to get to them, because it's just two that are too great, and it's a occasion that has to be had. You need your own day with us, you know, throughout the week. But Brother Bragg,
I'm just happy to hear you every day, man. I'm happy to hear you. Abolitionist Radio, Time for Awakening. Y'all my guys, man.
That's right.
I've been an abolitionist since I was a kid. I didn't even know I was an abolitionist. Just the way I view the world makes me an abolitionist.
Isn't that so true? Brother Brack, that is so true. Now, when did you first realize that you were an abolitionist? When was your first?
I grew up in Brooklyn, East New York, in the 60s. And I lived around a lot of Jewish people. And they were from, I guess they were from Europe. They were European Jews. They didn't speak English. And they had very bad attitudes. And I always wondered who they was. When I went to school, I asked our teachers about these people. And they just said they were Jews, and I wanted to know who the Jews were, so I started looking at who people were. And just coincidentally, you can't go nowhere without Black history, bro. Wherever you search,
you can't.
You're going to find us. We are the key. We are the lost key. There will be no balance on this planet until people know who we are. One of my big gripes with this country and the way things are done, we have people that are trying to steal our ancestors' heritage. And our ancestors were great people. They put it in stone.
That's right.
If you're aware of what's going on in the world now, you got vandals across the ocean trying to destroy things that have stood the test of time. It's actually sacrilegious. And people should be pissed, because this is what our ancestors left for us. Look, a people with no history is like a people with no name. That's why, look, they tried to whitewash everything, but your ancestors, with their genius, they put it in stone.
Right, timeless stone.
The sands covered it, and the winds uncovered the lie. Just blew the sand up, and there
was Titan Designs.
All in its glory. Hey, man, this is sick. Look, people talk that Christian mess. This is my religion. This Black thing that I am, this African thing that's in me, that was born in me. It's in all of us if we pay attention to that little voice inside of us.
Yeah, it's definitely profound. It's ancient, and it is, you know, and that's the thing, Brother Braggs. You got to first understand the truth that really relies and resides in you. And my thing is that, you know, I refuse to always accept someone else's agenda and to compromise my morality. And it took, you know, it took me different times and everything else, but once you start to really develop that, and it starts at a very early age, and the very, you know, a lot of people that start that way, I know my first cutting of teeth as being an abolitionist is when I always start to ask why. But see, I wouldn't ask people why for them to give me an answer. I would ask myself why, and then try to find out for myself, then I would, you know, ask a question without them really knowing what my intent was, because I wanted to hear. And it was always
I seeker wants to know. I want to know the truth, and I'll go to all lengths to get it. I'm going to dig and dig and dig until I find the truth. Now, let me tell you something that's so strange. Before it was popular to read books like Transcendental Meditation, I was like 13 years old with that book. I got it from a secondhand store for like a buck or something. I'm reading this book, and my guy's like, what are you reading this for? This is when I first found out that it was possible. Like I tell people, I leave my body sometimes. People thought I was kidding, but it's what you believe. When I sit down and read, I leave my body, bro. My body's here, but my mind, my spirit is somewhere else.
Right.
Feeding off of this light, this jewel, this information that it fills me, man. I can't really. It's religious to me. You know, not kneeling on my knees to know Jesus. I'm not saying that. Please don't get it. I don't want nobody to think that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I'm somewhere else. I'm all the way into my heart. And as people move around, when you go to these courthouses and see the scales of ballots, that's nothing about my heart. You see wings everywhere you go. That's justice. Now, we live in a country that's always symbolizing justice, but how can there be no justice when we profess to be justice? It's crazy. But people got to look around them and question everything.
Yep. The question is more important than the answer, because the question is eternal. Answer is temporal. You know, brother, it's so important that we know some of the history that ties all of this, and let's definitely jump into this, you know. And what we wanted to talk about was some of the slave codes.
Yes,
And then you can see, once we start talking about the slave codes, you can see that the slave codes are still in effect, and they're in effect by some of the very same things that we just read about, that the government has been doing, and they're involved in with these test runs and everything else. These are the tools, the methods of their objective, and it's never really changed, because we can never. It's dangerous for us to have blind faith, because that's always the first step towards genocide, and we have to look at it for what it really is. So, Brother Braggs, in your research and in some of your what have you learned about the black slave codes and
everything slave codes? I was trying to find them. I got so much stuff before me, man. Just work with me. Cause I went somewhere else, and I went to find that other thing. All right, I'm gonna start. I got two books here. Well, I actually got three that deal with slavery. One of them is Eyewitness History of Slavery in America from Colonial Times to the Civil War. That book's by Dorothy Snyder and Carl J. Snyder. The other book I had is Black Saga, the African American Experience, a chronological.
Mm-hmm. But before you go there, remember Walter. We got to do.
Dave.
Brother Brad, remember the reading that we have to do.
Okay, you talking about David Walker's appeal?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I got a little article on that right here. Free Black Publishers appeal to the colored people of the world in Boston on September 28th. David Walker, 1785-1830, a free black publisher, radical anti-slavery pastor. Walker's appeal to the colored people of the world. Walker called for blacks in the South to strike for their freedom, using violence if necessary. Walker's violent thesis was prefaced in the preamble, which stated that blacks were the most degraded, wretched, and abject set of beings that ever lived since the world began. The pamphlet was widely distributed and went into the third edition in 1829. Each publication was more militant than the preceding one. Walker was born in Wilmington, North Carolina, in 1785 to a slave father and a free mother. Since black children inherited the status of their mother, Walker was free. When he left the South, he settled in Boston, where he operated a used clothing shop. He quickly became a leader in the Colored Association of Boston and was the city's agent for the Abolitionist Freedom Journal. The pamphlet, which came to be known as Walker's Appeal, was so inflammatory that the governor of Georgia ordered the ship that brought the pamphlet held in quarantine for 40 days. After the state legislature was called into session to consider the consequences of allowing the pamphlet into the hands of slaves, a bill was passed making it a capital offense to circulate literature that might incite slaves to revolt, and offering a reward for David Walker's capture. $10,000 alive, $1,000 dead. Even though his life was threatened, Walker refused to seek safety in Canada. Georgia was not unique in its response to Walker's appeal. When the pamphlet was found in some Louisiana communities, the state passed legislation offering free blacks who had settled in Louisiana after 1825 to leave the state. That's how David Walker's appeal was so dangerous to them.
And, you know, that's now you can see where the origins of inciting a riot started.
Well, here's a riot right now, a race riot in Cincinnati on August 10th. Let me tell you what year it was also. 1829, on August 10th, 1829, a race riot erupted in Cincinnati, Ohio, promoting approximately 1,000 blacks to leave the city for Canada, Michigan, Western Pennsylvania, and New York. Although Cincinnati's black population had increased over previous several decades, the influence of the Colonization Society had caused many white citizens, particularly the unskilled, to demand the ouster of the new arrivals. As the hostility towards blacks grew more intense, the Cincinnati Colonization Society, founded in 1826 by some of the city's most prominent citizens, influenced local newspapers to join them in agitating against Cincinnati's free blacks. In the summer of 1829, political officials attempted to enforce Ohio's black laws, which required blacks to post $500 bonds guaranteeing good behavior. When free blacks received no legislative reprieve from their petitions against enforcing the laws, white mobs felt justified in attacking defenseless blacks and burning their homes and communities. In the effort to repress anti-black mob violence in other cities, black leaders including Samuel Cornish, Richard Allen, and others called for a national convention in Philadelphia, which was held the following year. And this, man, these black books, man, it's so many occurrences that you never heard of. And I find it amazing that you never heard of any of this stuff.
Right.
You mean
it's not a part of American history?
It is American history, but
that's not part of the curriculum at school every day? That's not
No way, baby. They're never going to take... I got another one. Rewards offered for slave stealers. Throughout this period, slave owners offered rewards for white abolitionists and slave stealers. Brought in dead or alive, one staunch abolitionist who had bounty of $3,000 on her person, dead or alive, was Laura Haviland, a white resident of Adrian, Michigan. Throughout much of her adult life, she harbored fugitive slaves and helped them escape via the Underground Railroad known as Aunt Laura. Haviland was honored with a statue in public square in Adrian, Michigan. Underground Railroad continues to aid escaped slaves. Population overview. Blacks in the United States, 1830, a total of 2.3 million black persons live in the United States. They constitute 18.1% of the nation's 12,860,020 residents. About 45,000 people blacks live in New York, 38,000 in Pennsylvania, 18,000 in New Jersey, 8,000 in Connecticut, 7,000 in Mass. And they give a chronological, they go throughout as time goes. They show you how the population of blacks grows in these places. And then we have, because of riots, we have mass migrations from the south to the north. Well, from the south to the west, and
right.
So people get out of there because it feels so threatening. It's so many riots that go unreported. I'm just going to give you a quick overview of some things. Let me see.
Yeah, and you know what? That is so true. Why you're getting that? You know, this is why it's so important for us to understand. In today's world, they try to, you know, as Brother Braggs was saying, when he reads, his mind and his spirit leaves his body. Well, you know, it's funny that you characterize it that way, because that's exactly what happens. But it happens in reverse when you just watch TV. The human body actually, if you're listening to the radio and reading, you experience one thing, one thought, one part of the brain is triggered and is firing off compared to another part of the brain when you're watching TV. When you're watching TV, you go into a catatonic state. You actually go into a state of daydreaming. And that's why the TV is so dangerous, is because it tells you how to think and what to think. It puts you in a daydream state so that the subliminal messages will get through without any interruption. This is what the TV does. This is what scientists have found from the brain waves of from people reading and listening to reading or listening to the radio is different from someone that is actually watching a television. The one that's in that's on the television, watching the television, is in a daydream state. The one that is reading or listening to a radio is actually thinking, has great cognitive thought. So, this is scientific also, Brother Bragg. So, just wanted to say that, yes, that definitely does happen, and it's so necessary, and that's why one of the importance of reading, and reading as much as you can. But go ahead, Brother Bragg.
And I wanted to tell you guys something else, too, about this manumission. I found that to be fascinating, too. Buying freedom and manumission. Although slaves had to have extraordinary intelligence, determination, and love to make it work, a surprising number actually bought themselves. Legally, slaves could own nothing, but in fact, some earned a little money for themselves. Plantation owners often permitted the slaves to farm small plots and sell their produce, or make baskets or brooms for sale. In gray market transactions, slaves sold moonshine and stolen goods. Well, they would say stolen goods. More likely went for slaves to accumulate money. However, arose from practices of hiring out, but which owners did not or appeared need the service of a slave, leased their labor to someone else. So you could buy your freedom or manumission by doing some act that saved the master, so to speak. If you like told that it was going to be a slave revolt, and you snuck in there and said, "Hey, master, they getting ready to come get you." Hey, but they were like, "You free now." Some places, some states had laws that you couldn't manumit a slave or make them free.
Yep.
They didn't want free slaves because they were against free slaves or against free labor. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
And we have to pay attention. A lot of these riots that went through the U.S. that I never reported, it was because black communities were doing so well. Now, you got to remember, people really don't talk about this. They talk about Bonnie and Clyde, they like they heroes or something. Well, during the Great Depression, some things that I read, when Bonnie and Clyde were robbing banks, the white banks didn't have any money because everything had crashed. They were in the South robbing the black banks because they were the only ones that had money. The black communities weren't really bothered by the Great Depression because they were already under white supremacy. So the Great Depression to them was just another day in the sunshine. My family told me that. My uncle was like, the Depression didn't mean anything to us. They had gas coupons back then. My uncle said, I sold gas coupons. That's how I made my money.
Yep. Yep. Brother Braggs, we have someone in queue. We're going to go to that caller very quickly. But, you know, it's so funny, Brother Braggs, is the same practices. I hope that you are putting some of the connections. The same practices of maintaining slavery are still the same practices today. But they try to
try to
doctrine it up and give it a politically correct term. In what they're doing, but it's the same thing. So let's go to this caller, Brother Braggs, because I don't like to keep callers. Wait, let's go to it.
Welcome
caller.
Hey, Brother David.
Brother David.
Yeah, I'm calling from Nebraska today, man. this is a great topic, and the reason being is because we don't understand what multiple images at a maximum speed do to our psyche. Now, the reason why I say that is because that is the new technological brainwash program of today. That's why you see a lot of these movies coming out that get major attention, like 12 Years a Slave. It keeps you in that mentality. And the sad part about it is that we haven't developed ourselves to understand the importance of the statement that you just made in reference to reading, radio, and watching TV. See, we are people of image. So 90% of the images that are in our mind aren't even our own. So therefore, the philosophy behind placing those images there is already inside the concept of the multiplication of those images. A lot of people will say, yeah, I'm a warrior, but yet when they get in situations where they will get in confrontations, that person that comes out is not the warrior they speak about. It's the person that has been mastered by the images that they've been watching.
Exactly.
And the sad part about it is that we have not grown to develop the understanding that we are people of visuality. We literally are taught through images. So therefore, we become victimized by this programming that's been done by design. And that's why a lot of black people today, you hear them say, what we can't do. They need to focus on what we can do, because what they speak into being is what happens. And that's because of the programming that we receive today. But be blessed, brother. I'm listening.
Man, brother David, before you go, that was so true. The thing I really want
the thing
you
I really
to
want
really
you
talk about real quickly
about
again
real
is that
quickly, again,
the
again.
Image of the warrior,
of the warrior,
electrical mirage that is not generated, by your spirit representation of your spirit and your free will.
And
that's how they're able to get us to surrender our free will willingly.
Absolutely. And you know, the sad part about it is that most people don't understand the true warrior nature of humanity is literally a feminine power. Now, why I say that is because men are territorial, but women are not. Women are people of what they call compassion. So their emotional aspects kick in before the awareness of a circumstance. Perfect example. You walk up on a woman and her child. You watch how she reacts. You walk close to her children and she's not between you. You watch how she acts. See, with men, it's different because men go into atmospheres of work, which teaches us, pre-programs us to be submissive to command. That's why money plays such an important role in our daily interaction. They created a value in money that allows men to be submissive in order to get it because of what they can do with it. There's always a philosophy behind what is done in the Western technology. And that's why when people talk about situations or things that they need, that's been generated because that means that they will have to go out here and do something to get that money in order to suffice that situation.
You're absolutely right, brother. Brother Davis, it's a psychological warfare that we're in.
It's
the art of war. You know, it's
so important that we understand
when we're truly ready
to be free,
that is when our women will say, enough is
enough.
Once our women say, enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Absolutely, as long as they do not become victimized by the programming, because you have to understand the woman is the true target. They already had the prison
always
industrial complex, which has been designed to contain and lock up men. Now, they always had that, but what they didn't have was the ability to bridle the spirit of women so they will not have children. So you have to understand, in essence, it's not about us as black people. It's about what that woman brings into the world that comes in a free universal package, which is what the doctor was talking about. We come into this world with a basic mindset of development, but with the wrong knowledge, you can't develop rightly. So there goes why we are in the situation we are in, because we have been predominantly taught with Western technology that dumbs us down and keeps us docile.
Yep, keeps us docile.
Yep.
Brother Davis, thank you
so
much. Be safe. Much love to you. Sister Davis, and can't wait to catch up with you guys. Much love and respect.
All right, peace, brother.
Yes, sir. As always, the wisdom of Brother Davis. What else can you say? Brother Braggs.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, I know you heard what Brother Davis was saying, and it goes right in line with what we've been talking about, what you always call and talk about, and what you're talking about now. You know, a land without men is occupied. A land without women is barren. And so,
you know, I'm gonna say reminiscent Robbins when you say that, don't you?
Yeah.
The city established on a hill. A city that ended up being a city of death.
Yeah.
The inhabitants of that city would invite the townspeople to come up for libations. And while they would come up for libations, they would go down to the town and rape and molest their daughters and wives. So the city on the hill wasn't what all it was cracked up to be. Now, I went that way because I want to say that this leads me into the belief of my beliefs about Rome and the Greeks.
Yes, let's talk about that.
These manufactured histories. That they not only manufactured They piggybacked the Egyptian and the Ethiopian, and they plagiarized everything they did. They got things attributed to these people that they just couldn't do. They don't even understand it. They don't understand Maya. They don't understand Kemetic teachings. They don't understand that. They just put their names on things that they're not the author of. And I study a lot, so this is where it's sacred to me.
Yes. Because
once again, they're usurping our ancestors' accomplishments. Now, you wouldn't believe that the Ankh is affiliated with electricity, would you?
Say that again. I missed you. What did you say?
The Ankh is affiliated with...
Oh, of course. Yes. The Ark of the Covenant. Yes.
Of electromagneticism.
Yes.
That's,
yes.
It comes from the Ankh.
Yep.
Now, they got all these people, Om and Volt and all these cats calling what they created, but it was created by the Ethiopians and the Egyptians.
Yep.
And see, that's once again, that's why that Know Thyself, every time you hear that Know Thyself, you should know that Know Thyself was on every temple in Egypt. And temples that had anything to do with the Egyptian, the Ethiopian, and some temples over here in America. Erawat, Dogon, Olmec. We get deep. The Negritos, man, this black thing is so deep that people just knew. They watch too much TV. You need to open these books. Break these books. Free your mind. And you can really go places. Look, they got things right now going on. Like yesterday, I couldn't get to you guys when you were talking about this. Do you know right now, if you go to Ghana, Ghana will give you land?
Yes.
Also in South Africa, what's the president over there? My man that does not play. He's a bad brother. He's my hero.
In South Africa.
I can't
remember. But Trump, yeah, he was the one that brought them into the BRICS.
He's a bad man.
Yes.
Now, he didn't start off that way, but he saw the light. And that's what I'm saying. We can all see the light.
That is so true, Brother Braggs. Yes.
I want to piggyback on something else because here my mind is slipping again. But you had asked me about those slave stories. I wanted to break this down for you because we were talking about systems. I'm just going real quick because I hate to have to read it, but I don't want to preface it like it's my words because these are not my words. This book is from runaway slaves, Franklin and Swinard. And during the 18th and 19th centuries, every southern state passed laws concerning runaways. While they differed slightly from state to state, the codes and civil and criminal cases that evolved were similar in defining who the runaways, how they should be apprehended, and what would happen to them. After they were captured, any slave who shall be found more than 20 miles distant from the plantation, tenement, or other place where such slave is employed or required to be by his owner, overseer, or employer without a written pass or permission was a runaway. An 1839 Arkansas statute said, mirroring those in other states, any white person could apprehend a slave and turn him or her over to a justice of the peace. Now, this is what I'm saying, a justice of the peace. The apprehender would receive reimbursement from the county for the mileage he had traveled and was eligible for a $15 reward. The county sheriff was then instructed to advertise the captured slave, describing him or her by name, physical appearance, wearing apparel, and name of the owner. If the runaway went unclaimed for 12 months, the sheriff was instructed to advertise and sell the slave at the courthouse to the highest bidder. After deducting expenses of apprehending, securing, advertising, maintaining, and selling the slave, the sheriff was instructed to turn the remainder of the money over to the county. Owners could reclaim their property at any time before the auction or designate others to do so. While most states passed similar statutes, there were differences from state to state. In Maryland, owners were required to inform slave servants for a term of years who absconded that if they persisted in such action, they could be sold out of the state according to 1833 and 1845 Acts of General Assembly in Louisiana. The buying and selling of slaves came with a legal warranty saying that the slave was not a runaway. If a purchaser could prove the seller knew about such behavior, but still sold the slave, the buyer could return the slave or sue for a refund.
Brother, hold on, because, man, this is so good. We're getting ready to come up on a break, and I want you to hold on, because there is so much that you are saying.
Well, look, you got to remember, all of that's going on right now.
Right now.
The industrial complex is the same game. Different
exactly.
Game.
We're going to put it all together. When we come back, I want you to finish. But we got to go to a commercial break real quick. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 712-775-7035, participant code 660079. We'll be right back after this quick commercial. Yeah,
Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 712-775-7035, and the participant code is 660079. And we're having a conversation about the slave codes and how they are still relevant today and still enacting today. And Brother Braggs was running down how if a runaway slave was caught, the process and the procedures to be taken to legally turn them back over with reward
cash
for
out.
The catcher. Sure. Now, one of the things I want to, one of the things that Brother Braggs was saying is so key. Now you can see how the establishment of property tax was, okay? Because this was the thing. Property tax is illegal in industry, really, if you're not using your home as a part of your business. But it flourished so much because what? The plantations were some of the homes, then this was their businesses, and this is how the states brought
the
about
the land
was
worth nothing until they attached the slaves to the land.
Exactly.
That's when the land became back.
Exactly. So, Brother Braggs, so going back to pick back up where you were when you were talking about...
Oh, okay.
And then
okay,
that,
Louisiana.
That's definitely different.
I think Louisiana, right? That's where I was
yes.
at, right? In Louisiana. Yes. Okay, in Louisiana, buying and selling of slaves came with a legal warranty saying that the slave was not a runaway. If a purchaser could prove that the seller knew about such behavior but still sold the slave, the buyer could return the slave or sue for a refund. In Tennessee, any slave taken up as a fugitive had to be regularly, now listen to this, had to be regularly committed to the public jail as opposed to jails or pens owned by private slave trading companies. In Mississippi, Indian agents were to receive $30 for each runaway they captured or secured in the Indian nations. The agent could also build a jail, procure irons for the confinement or better security of all runaway Negroes. In Alabama, if a runaway was not chained within 10 days, the jailer was required to publish a description for 30 days in the nearest newspaper. If still unclaimed for the next 6 months, the jailer should advertise in newspapers in Mobile, Montgomery, Tuscaloosa, and Huntsville. In Texas, slave catchers who brought back runaways from west of the San Antonio River could demand and receive the sum of $50 for each and every slave. In short, every southern state has its own comprehensive legal code for identifying, capturing, jailing, advertising, returning, and selling runaway slaves. By the late antebellum period, runaway laws comprised of significant sections of each state's legal code. Indeed, important slave owners attached to this problem was reflected in the same time and energy they devoted to fashioning these laws. When the Tennessee Assembly wrote its slave code in 1857 and 58, for example, it created four charters to deal with the crime and delinquency. These included police regulations for slaves, offenses committed by slaves or against slaves, and offenses against the police and the economy of slavery, including forging passes. Now, these people are trying to get away from slavery. Forging passes, secreting or enticing slaves, kidnapping slaves among the 131 sections in these chapters, many have dealt in one way or another with runaways. 61 of 131 out of 1 out of 7, 19 of 131 sections dealt specifically with runaways. How and when they were to be jailed, advertised, hired, employed, redeemed, returned, and sold. On letting such slave to hire, the jailer before delivering him or to the hire shall call an iron collar to put on his neck, stamp PG, public gall, one section read, and then he shall not be answerable for his escape. Nor were Tennessee lawmakers amused when time and effort they spent attempting to solve these problems. Such laws were designed to control the movement of slaves when away from the plantation, to protect the master's property, to provide an efficient means of returning or selling fugitives. The laws, of course, did not always work smoothly in practice. Disputes arose concerning payments and rewards, injuries to pursue and pursued, even illegal ownership to runaways. In addition, some of the laws were poorly conceived. In 1804, a group of Virginia whites noted the inaccuracy of a statute governing captains who hid slaves on their trading vessels. The penalty was adequate, death without benefit of clergy, they said, but the law contemplates the punishment after the fact and after the slave has gone to sea.
There were also problems in determining the penalty for killing a slave on the run. South Carolina, for example, made it a capital offense. A group of Christchurch Parish plantation owners asserted that the law increased the number of runaways. Slaves understood the statute, the planters claimed, and were willing to take more chances. Prior to the passing of the law of 1821, enacted to act to increase the punishment inflicted on persons convicted of murdering any slave, the memorialists asserted blacks were in every respect more obedient and better service, and infinitely more trustworthy and faithful than they had been subsequently. The evils of runaway had risen significantly since its passage.
Whoo! Brother, okay. Brother Bragg. See, now let's look at this. Let's take a look at this. There was great energy, infrastructure, treasure,
systems of control.
Exactly. And this is the thing about that. They never relinquished any of that. That's why slavery has never ended in this country.
The only difference
built
is
this country.
They still got vigilantes, but it's organized. Instead of everybody being slave catchers, now they got law enforcement, DEA, FBI, boo-boo-boo, yah-yah-yah. You see what I'm saying?
They
built a whole thing around slavery, a whole institution of slave catchers. They slavers, man.
Right.
I used to watch Swashbuckler. They slavers, man.
And you know, it's so funny for us to really, how can you really think that you live in any form of freedom here when the whole institution, the corporation of this nation, the corporation of the United States, was built off of slavery. Their business plan was slavery, and it's never ended. It's still
hold on 1 minute. Let me put you right where you're talking about. To slow the tide of runaways, southern states relied on a system of patrols beginning in colonial times. Legislators passed laws granting local officials, including county judges, authority to constitute patrols to control the slave population. They ranged in size from 1, 2, or 3 to a dozen or more. They were organized in military fashion with captains, sergeants, patrols, privates. And they had legal authority to search virtually anywhere for fugitives. In times and places, they could hold appointments through exclusive authority as of Virginia. In 1808, when special patrols were formed to put down a rumored slave insurrection. As one patroller said, they were instructed to search the Negro cabins and take everything which we found in them, which bore a hostile aspect, such as powder, shot, etc., and were told to apprehend every Negro whom we found from his home, and if he made any resistance or ran from us, to fire on him immediately lest he could be stopped by other means. In parts of the South, patrols frequently roamed across the country to flush out runaways. In the fall winter of 1814, a runaway gang became so troublesome and offensive in the area along Goose Creek, St. James Parish, South Carolina, 16 miles from Charleston. The members of patrols were given instructions to shoot any slave who did not surrender. Within a week, patrollers had killed 2 runaways. Both belonged to Edward Basile. In South Carolina, patrollers could point to an early law giving them the legal right to kill any slave who fled. This statute was used by Lieutenant James Moore Ford, who led an armored group of men in search of Bicer and Gable, runaways owned by a member of the House of Representatives from Carleton District. The 2 slaves were discovered, shot, and killed. Later, a patrol captured the notorious runaway April, owned by Thomas W. Price, who was believed had lured Brister and Gable away from the owner's plantation. Patrols near Charleston were soon stuck in pursuing, okay? So you see that anytime they're pursuing runaway slaves, with no retribution, they have the right to kill with impunity.
Exactly. And you
still
know what, brother?
Basically under those same slave codes right now. We operate under that same color of law, man.
Exactly, because all of those laws are still on the books and all of those practices are still in effect.
And that's why people wonder, are so bewildered by why they're doing nothing, because it's legal. Technically.
Yep.
It's not legal. It's immoral.
No.
Don't get me wrong. I want to make my position perfectly clear. It's immoral.
And the thing about that is that when you really stop to look at it, and you can never have an abolishment of slavery unless it's just like organized crime, because that's what slavery is organized crime. You can't have an abolishment of slavery without destroying the whole infrastructure that slavery had built. Now, because if you do something long enough, it becomes your culture. They did this for years, so this is the culture that has been to this very day.
Yep. It's just my opinion, Dave. If you are founded on criminality and you practice criminality,
I would say, from the news that I used to watch, I don't watch TV, I would say that you're a criminal.
Yep.
If that's the case, my moral compass says that. I think that I'm completely right.
You
and
are.
People should start taking a look at who they call heroes. Take a look at your heroes, and you tell me if they're heroes or zeros. If a man got blood on his hand, he can't be a hero. If he was a rapist or a murderer, he can't be a hero. Not my hero. Not
right.
From where I come from. So people got to reevaluate what they believe. The belief system's got to be checked. Don't be scared to check and evaluate your belief system. It's no crime, and it won't hurt you. It expands your mind.
Mm.
And it's got nothing to do with being passive. I'm anything but passive. What I am
right.
is humble. There's nothing wrong with being humble. Don't get it twisted.
No, nothing at all. Nothing at all. So, Brother Bragg, now, when you look at these slave codes and these slave practices, these slave laws, this goes back not only to what I really want to talk about now and tie this in is how this, why was this invoked? Because you said something earlier, the land has no value unless the energy is there.
Look,
and so touch on that.
Let's talk about two things. Let's talk about Arsenio, and Arsenio was a decree from the Portuguese king who gives people charters to go take 3,000 Africans at this time, 3,000, but he really didn't have right to give those because he didn't own anything. This is what you're talking about right now. So you got to remember the slavery. These people who never saw these people, who didn't know them, went into somebody's house, their country, unannounced, and stole people. Raped them, murdered them, and killed them, took them to a faraway place. In some cases, they were already there. They never left. So, because we got black people that never left here, and I want people to understand, we were already here. We were already in so many places. If the climate was manageable, we were there. If we couldn't get there, we traveled there because that's who we were.
And if it was cold, we didn't stay long. Right, brother?
But we didn't have to. Look,
we didn't have to.
Remember
right.
this, and this is what I always tell people. Every place that we inhabited was paradise.
That's right.
We didn't have to be aggressive. Our women didn't wear clothes because they were beautiful, first of all, and we respected our women.
Right.
We didn't rape women. That's not our culture. That's not what we did to each other. That was all this nonsense that we on now was learned. And we can unlearn it. Some things can be unlearned. Bad behavior can be unlearned. Once you know thyself, I'm telling you, that know thyself, people keep saying it's not Greek. It's Egyptian, Ethiopian, African. Know thyself. If you know thyself, brother, once you know who you are, you God, brother. Not just because I'm saying it. Once you start researching, well, now you're going to find out you are God. Your ancestors were geniuses. When Alexander the Great came into Egypt, he wanted to be revered as a pharaoh. The priest would not allow that for
right.
him to be put up there as a pharaoh. So he made himself a king. Now, if you notice, pharaohs didn't call themselves kings. They called themselves pharaohs. Or they called themselves things like Naga. Now, people say,
yep.
and I'm not going to argue with anybody about this, Naga, Naga, or Nagas, is an Ethiopian sovereign. King.
That's it. The king.
So, I want people to do their work and stop letting people tell you anything. These people knew who we were. They took a royal word and defiled it, called you nigger. You low down nigger, because they know your greatness. Everything that they tell you is opposite of what it is. Study, brother, study, study, study. You're gonna be 3 feet off the ground. Because that's what light does. It elevates.
So true. And this is actual and factual. What Brother Braggs is talking about. Now, Brother Braggs, now let's get back to now when, because you had touched on it and it was so powerful about the
come on,
land.
Man, you know when I start rolling, man, you got to bring me back. I'm sorry.
No, it's perfect. I love it. It's perfect. And no, without rain.
Because I have one of the
people follow
a couple
the spirit.
Of people,
you good? You are totally good.
In the Barracoons, we had these brothers all over on all these different countries. Always fighting. People think that the slaves just laid down. No, they didn't just lay down. They
now,
burned down
say
bombs.
It again. Please,
they poisoned
it again.
People. They sabotaged things. Some days they didn't want to be bothered. They wouldn't work. They get up today, I'm not working. They say, we got to go out there and see if we can get old George to do something. Old George ready to kill today. You better leave old George alone. But that's the things that they don't say. They were people, man. They were trying to live under a terrible system, man. And if you really, if you can empathize, you can just feel it in any kind of way. I hear people say all the time, why you want to know about that stuff? That's back then. Man, you got to know where you've been to know where you're going to go. You got people that paved the way for everything we do today. They bled for us. And that's why I believe that we should be international. We should go to Africa. We should be here. We should be able to connect from around the world because that's who we are.
Yeah.
You should be a sovereign, totally, like you always say. A sovereign comes and goes as he please. He goes where he wants to go, where he needs to be, because he feels he needs to be there.
Exactly.
That's
brother.
How
God
is.
God is God because
he knows.
Yeah, I totally agree
because
with you.
Because of the all.
I totally agree with you. Now, Brother Braggs, you know, the land. What made the land here so valuable? Because
what made the land so valuable as they flooded this country with immigrants? What they did, if you took an indentured servant, for each indentured servant, I think it was 100 acres of land.
Yes, 100 acres of land.
You could rent it, you could lease it, or you could buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry, they give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You
and it had to be redeemable in 7 years, the indentured servant.
Right. But now remember this. They didn't redeem them because, now remember, we're talking about criminals now.
Right.
Servants got worked to death. They didn't live through the 7 years. And if you were Irish, you probably didn't make it.
Yep.
And that's another thing. They don't know they were Irish slaves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these brothers got to know, when you go around this world, you can go into India, the Davidians. Man, we're everywhere. You can go to Pacific Islands. We're there. Hawaii, we're there.
China.
Here, America, we were here.
China.
Now, these people who say they're here, they're everywhere, every one of them was an intruder, an interloper. They came and conquered land. What they did is they walked into places where people were docile and people were civilized. And that's the word I was trying to remember. Because we always hear this. We went there to Christianize these heathen savages.
Right.
But
civilized.
The heathen savages were not murderers or rapists. And they didn't steal nobody's land. So how did they become savages?
Right.
How did a defenseless man with superior, my man comes in with superior weapons, and you the savage who here is not in your flock, tending your farms, taking care of your women, your children, building divine culture, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, astrology, mathematics. That's what we did. Electricity. Everything that these civilizations use came from African, Ethiopian, Egyptian. We are the foundation of this planet. People need to recognize who we are. That's all I'm screaming about. Whenever you see me, you're going to hear me talk about the black man, the African black man. I don't call myself American. It just happens to be my situation. I had no control over that. And I've made the best of my existence, no doubt.
You know, Brother Bragg, I'm glad you said that. Because whenever I fly, I always look out the window, and I laugh, and I say, I'm not a nationalist. I'm a globalist.
Exactly.
The great creator created everything. I don't see the maps and the constraints of Canada, United States, and all of that, because I know what those are. Those are slave territories being defined and defined.
Just remember this,
by
that right of eminent domain. All of that came from the African. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't
use
it like that. They didn't use it like that. But this is something else. This is my thesis right here. Now, this is not anything I read. It's just from what I've undertaken, my understanding from things that I've read about. When you start talking about these Europeans, it gets really deep, because you got to remember, it's a whole stretch of history you don't even hear about, like the Moors that ruled Europe for 800 years, like black Vikings that ruled Europe. Now, when they talk about blackball, blackmail, they're talking about us. Catch the keywords, catch the quotes. Remember the book I told you earlier, Poison Minds, Poison Minds, something where books like that, it helps you interpret certain, if you see certain things, it helps interpret it. But back to the point, everything that we use in this civilization came from those Ethiopians and Egyptians. And people might as well recognize. Start teaching your little kids about who they are. The reason our boys had a problem, when I went to school, I had a problem. I couldn't stay there and be focused on C, Dick, Jane, and Spot run. Spot got a ball. One plus one is four. Six books. Man, come on, man. My whole day, 8 hours, this is what we doing all day. I guess black children do get bored. My mind was on something else. I could be catching flies, catching frogs. That's what me and my boys did. We could find snakes. We dig in the dirt. You see, we could find, you know, being indoctrinated into a system
right.
to make you subservient, to make you docile, to make you, to keep you in a bottle, to not let you use the light that burns within. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but let
that
God in you, expose that God in you, let that God in you shine. We all got it in us. Once the proper stimulus, the right vibration, and you excel, you explode, and we all got it. That's my message to everybody. It's in all of us. Just find out what floats your boat.
You know, it's so funny, Brother Rags, because you're going to have to say that again, but when you talk about the schools, when you were in school and everything else, and to me, the schools was nothing more to me than the future prison cells in the future, because if you're really going to have to actually give an education, then no child or person needs schooling, because schooling is nothing more than reciting and repeating what someone else's agenda is. An education is built off of what you can create from who you are.
Coincidental learning and every day just moving around. Some of the best education you get, just moving around. If you just read anything you pick up, you will learn so much, because that's going to open up a facet, like makes you curious about everything. Once you start reading things, something happens, like a light, a spark. I'm a book freak, I'm saying, because I want to know some things.
Right.
I used to always wonder how these people had all this land. But they got that land from every slave that they brought over, or indentured servant they got. The government gave them this land. Now, come to future, let's go to the GI Bill. They had all these programs. They excluded blacks. That's why we didn't have houses. When they say suburban, they were subsidized. So when you hear suburban initially, suburban was subsidized by the government. So they went out there and got houses for $2,000-$3,000. Now, when you and I come in the 80s and the 90s to buy that same house, they paid $3,000 for the house. We paid $90,000, $70,000. So the game is already stacked against you. It's rigged. You got to pay attention to everything.
You do, Brother Bragg.
Just what it is.
This is why, as long as you hear me say this all the time, play by their rules, they will rule.
Yes,
and
sir.
This is why it's so important for us to develop and to come together and establish our own, because you are as free as you demand yourself to be, and you are as enslaved as much as you surrender your will to it. That's really where it is. It doesn't matter what a law is. The law is nothing but a piece of paper that has some written words on it. It has no effect until you surrender your energy to it, and then now you give it authority. The law has no authority other than what you give it. And you need to start giving the laws of primary, absolute, unalienable rights to yourself. You are not subject of any person or any organization or institution that claims you because they spoke it. You have to speak a different language. There are some languages that are very dangerous for you to learn to speak. It comes from the grimoires is so dangerous. Grimoires meaning the grammar of things. You have to know and speak the right language. So, man, Brother Bragg, It's amazing how in your whole journey. Now let's start to bring this around to, you know, let's have some furtherance on this as far as how these slave laws have continued, and let's where do you see this now and from the past, from your past findings?
I was trying to figure out what was going on that police are killing us with impunity. I'm saying that they actually just fired on people, nothing's happened. So I was trying to figure out what laws could they possibly operate under that this is going on and nothing is happening. And then I started looking at the black slave codes. And the black slave codes, and they got also the code, the black code. They got the slave code and the black codes. They're two different codes, but they're codes that end up spreading all over the United States to stop your movement. Actually, to terrorize the hell out you, basically. That's what it was. Because what they did, they empowered everybody. If they didn't help, they could be fined. So that means everybody was helping, and then if they helped, they got paid for helping. So they made the whole country ostracize black people. That's basically what they did. And then the government never intervened on the behalf of its citizenry,
No. And what were some of the everyday white people that were in the country, and from just your findings and everything, what was their overall conditions and situations with it? You know, some of them may not have approved of it, but they eventually had to participate in it, correct?
You talking about abolitionism or what?
No. Outside of abolition, but just the overall agenda of slavery and how it caught everyone up in it, you know. Because we talked about that earlier this morning.
They made everybody partake of it. They legislated, everybody started partaking of slavery. Everything is set up based on slavery. And it's basically a mirror of the situation that the prison system is today, because it's basically the same system. It's just different kind. And when they fool people with the exception clause in the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment giving corporations the right as persons, as people, putting them on an even stand with slaves, because that's basically what they did.
Yep.
So they gave a corporation got more power than a slave, because a corporation got unlimited resources.
Yep.
And they could control laws.
Unlimited resources and impunity, because there is no corporation that you can in jail. You can send to jail. You can't send a corporation to have the death penalty against a corporation. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. You can't restrict the movement of a corporation. But go ahead, Brother Braggs. Just go ahead, finish it, because this is amazing.
I'm just going to run from those times. I'm going to run a few things from back in those times. You got a white newspaper commits on Nat Turner. Even white newspaper could treat the subject of Nat Turner with cold sympathy. Nat seems very humble, willing to answer any questions, indeed quite communicative. And I am disposed to think tells the truth. I heard him speak more than an hour. He really avowed motive, confessed that he was the prime instigator of the plot, that he alone opened his master's doors and struck his master the first blow with the hatchet. He clearly verified the accounts which have been given of him. He is shrewd, intelligent fellow, Richard Wave. Nat Turner's remains. Fear rebellion, religious slave fomented rebellion, hidden slave rebellions. Now see, all these are things that are going on that you never hear about. This is now this book I'm in right here is 101 things everyone should know about African American history. And 101 is Frederick Douglass resists covert brutality. Slaves appointed Navy captain of stolen ship. These are things that is going on. Punishment of slaves pleases God. Runaways, the first runaways. Successful runaways living in maroon colonies. Recapture of maroon colonies. Maroon slaves rather die than be captured. Black Seminoles. Future Slave Act, 1793. Escape to freedom seems formidable. Allen with Craft, the obstacle to slaves' escape. Future Slave Act of 1850, first arrest of Henry Box Brown, that's the guy who escaped in the box. William Peel Jones, the theft of Solomon Northrop's freedom. Solomon Northrop, I believe he's the dude who played the instrument. I don't want to read the whole thing right now. I believe that's him. He was a fiddler, and he was at a concert, and the slave catchers, because that's what they were. Just like you could go to the store right now to get a beer, and you may not be paying attention, and all of a sudden, a slave catcher sees you. Ask you for your identification. You don't have none. Guess what? Slave catcher got you. Because he's going to take you down if you don't have identification.
Yep.
It's terrible, still, man. It's the same dilemma, man, when you really think about it, man.
No, it's no different. And then there will be those that will make an excuse against it. So we're getting ready to come up. I'm sorry, Brother Braggs. We're getting ready to come up on a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Let them know they're missing out, Mama Africa has
so much love to share.
Sweet blackness, oneness, be there.
So much love to care.
Let them know they're missing out, sing again.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Alright, welcome back everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We're having a conversation with Brother Braggs. If you have any questions or comments for Brother Braggs, please give, jump in the conversation. Give us a call, 712-775-7035, and the participant code is 660079. I tell you, Brother Braggs is bringing some real, I love it, he's bringing some real information, and it's so important that we educate ourselves and actually sit down and allow ourselves to endure, I mean, to engross ourselves with our history so that we can be able to establish our own agenda. And this is Class is in Session, and we have the great Professor Braggs, who I'm affectionately calling him now. You are no longer Brother Braggs. You're Brother Professor Braggs, because this is so important. The class is in session, and I'm being so schooled, and it's amazing the education that we'll receive, not only in schools, but education. What's that, brother?
I just want to share two things with you guys that I was looking at right quick.
Sure.
The one thing, I want to read this little, well, I'm going to get through it. Check this out. Just check this out. You're a citizen historian and scholars. And first, let me preface this. This is from Nashad al-Amin, The True Myth, The Black Vikings of the Middle Ages. Preface that. All right. Eurocentric historians and scholars almost never mention racism. That is, a collective white racial hatred toward the non-white people. In their assessments of European colonization and warfare, they have excused European trespassing and the destruction of numerous non-Christian cultures and people as mere acts of economic necessity for Europeans or strategic unnecessary evil, exhibiting not the slightest regard for the lives of the affected population in the areas overrun. Europe needed trade. Europe needed spices. Europe, or particular European countries, needed a trade route to the east. Europe needed raw materials. Europe, or particular European countries, needed slaves. Europe needed oil to maintain its industrial growth. The people who suffered the loss of their lands, way of life, resources, lives, or particular industrial growth, the people, the civilizations are less important than the needs of European nations. Their resultant fates go unnoted or are mentioned in a brief afterthought at the end of a historian's chapter. The most profitable pursuits by Europeans for trade, resources, slaves, and other riches were into areas of the world populated by dark-skinned people, Africa, the Middle East, Southern Asia, South America, the Caribbean, China, the Isles of the Pacific. Yet racism, the dehumanization of dark-skinned people in the minds of Europeans, their bold and often undesired intrusions to areas inhabited by people, dark-skinned populace, their use of more modern weaponry to subdue these populace, the guiltless slaughter of untold numbers of people is never mentioned by the historians who write of the events that we ingest in schools, universities, on our own private readings, which invariably present a one-sided picture of the European side.
Mm. Wow, Brother Bragg.
I thought that had to be read, bro. I just had to do that.
Yeah, that was amazing. Definitely, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 712-775-7035, and the participant code is 660079. Now, Brother Bragg,
yes, sir.
From everything that, from your research and your overall looking at what has happened in the past, where do you see and what do you think is actually going on today? How would you categorize it, and how would you articulate it in a way that what from a standpoint of what's going on and what is it that you think is the solution to it? Because without, it's great to recognize the problem, but it's more important to have a choice and a solution that we can all dialogue with and move in that direction. What should be energized solving?
To start off, what I would say, and this is my assessment. We in this country as minorities, hold it, stop. I didn't say that. We in this country as Africans, because we are not a minority. Let me make that quite clear. I'm sorry about the use of words. Remember, I told you before about my use of words. I'm gonna check that every time.
That's right.
If we collectively do two things, if you really do some garbage stuff, if you think black, everything's going to be all right. When I say that, that means if you buy black, support black, think black, be black, we're going to make it. Because then we can collectively do things that we need to do. And we must do it collectively. We can economically, we can bring them to their knees if we did a collective thing. That's just to control our destiny, if you understand what I'm saying. We need to control, we need to have some control, which right now we really don't have a hell of a lot of control. A lot of us, we rely on these people to educate us. We rely on them for our food. We rely on them for our water. We too needy. You know what I'm saying? You can't be that needy.
Wait, Brother Braggs, wait, let me tell you something. This is why I love Brother Braggs. There's some people that you just need to sit down and let them, you know, educate you. You said something that was so important and so true. So many people say it in different ways, but you said it the most articulate and the most powerful and simplest way to say it. If you think black, we're all right.
We're going to be fine.
We're going
Don't
to
think we can't win. Remember Vietnam. You got to look. Vietnam is so important. We had a little nation. Just they were throwing rocks at the United States with napalm and Huey helicopters and
rifles.
And these boys went underground on them. Guerrilla warfare took them to their knees, and now they didn't have all that sophisticated stuff. So, look, let me preface this. Let's pray for peace and prepare for war.
You know what, Brother Brett? Hold on, let me, you know, because you said something that's so, you brought in, I'm glad you brought in Vietnam. What most people don't realize and what they won't tell you, this is the truth of Vietnam. There is no army on the planet that can ever defeat the people. Armies can only go against other armies. When they went into Vietnam, they didn't go against the Vietnam army. They went against the Vietnam people. And that's why they got their hat handed to them.
So guess what? By day, the farmer's farming. By night, he kicking your butt because you in his homeland. He wants you out.
And this is the thing. What Billy Joel had a song, Little Saigon, and that's exactly what he said. By day, we control the day, but they control the night.
That's right.
And this is the key here, and we have to understand something. As a people, we so often we allow our language, we repeat and we recite because we've learned it from kindergarten, first grade, all the way through our extended, to repeat the actual protocols and the actual doctrines that maintain our bondage instead of always thinking black, because guess what? No matter what, you will always be black, even if you deny it.
Man, please, come on now.
Even if you deny it, they
tell them about, being a star child. They'll get it then. You are the universe, star child.
You are the,
no doubt.
You are the universe. Bring in that Dogon teachings, brother. So, but
brother
Brack,
that's right.
Finish with. I mean, continue with, because. Continue with what is it? Some of the things that we need to actually, you know, you said it in such a great way that we need to think black. And also, brother, go ahead.
In that collective, and that's why I say think black, because one thing that we all have in common, I'm talking about that trumps everything, trumps religion. We are the same people, whether you believe it or not. Now, We don't want it to be an all-out war for you to decide who you are. You want to start looking into yourself right now and start taking advantage of the time that we still have to know yourself. And knowing yourself is to find out from whence all this information comes. Whatever religion you want, find out the origins of the religion. Find out who the religion is. Look up the flavors. I'm going to put some things on your mind. Look up the Reverend C.C. Jones. That's the religion here in America. That's the foundation of it. It'll blow your wig back. Pull up the flavors. That's Titus Flavius. It's a bunch of Romans that wrote the Bible, which was really, they were trying to be smart. But look it up. Check some things out. Let your wig flow back and let your jasmine flow. It'll blow your wig back from these things these people have ran on us. And don't be scared to peep game. You want to know what people are doing, so you don't be scared. Go in there and find out what's going on. It's your right. It's your sovereign right to be free. You can't be free unless you free your mind. Open up the prison on your mind.
That's exactly right, Brother Rags. And you know, it's something that you have to question. And it's, you know, Brother Rags, and the sad thing is that you can go around this country, especially people that want to maintain their overall surrenderance, and that's cool. That's a personal choice. But so many of us, and you said it, and I'm going to keep going back to it, thinking black. So many of us don't think black. Just think of it, because you challenge even me, you challenge yourself, because once you come into, you know, once you hear the truth, you're responsible for your response to the truth. How many of us can name off so much of a history that's not even ours and know and identify with it right away? But how much of our own history do you not know, not even by everything, the names of everything is foreign to you, where you turn up and frown your face when you hear a name that is not even Bob, Billy, Joseph, or Billy Joe, or Jethro. That just shows you that you're not thinking black. That you're not thinking black.
You know, and what? Without kicking my sister's man as you speak, man, I had a war here with my women, man. And this war was this. Look, I know so much about stuff. I read about everything. I found out that the hair industry, stuff that they're putting in, the stuff that perms and makes your hair lay down or whatever you want to call it, it's waste. It's a waste to me. I like my women with natural. But anyway, I had to get on my women, my daughter, and my wife, until they took that crap out their heads. Because first of all, it makes these tumors, what do you call it? Phlegm, say it for me, man. I'm tongue-tied today. I don't know what's up. The phlegm, the tumors that women have in the uterus and in their stomach, the hair processes, some of that chemicals make them have that. And so I got on my women real tough, and now my women are wearing their hair natural. Women, we love you just for who you are. I don't want my woman to look like no European. I want my woman to look like she me, like she with me. She a sister, a black woman, a queen, a god. That's
I love you, Brother Black.
I want the
Black.
Young women to look in the mirror and say, I'm beautiful just like I am. I don't have to have blonde hair. I don't have to have long European hair. You're not European. You don't have to do that. You can do it if you want. That's your choice, but you don't have to be that. And a lot of black men will tell you, we love you just because of who you are, queen.
Right. See, you know, and it goes for us as brothers, too. You know what I mean? And I know you know that, and I'm not saying that you, and I know it's, but see, you think black first, and of course you're going to think right off the back is the women, and it's, you know, the women of our culture, the women of our you know, collectively that we share with. I'm them. I am them. They can say, you know, you're mine, David, you know, and I can say that this is our direction because we first think black, and it's so important. But Brother Rags, is so true. You know, it's,
hey, I love you.
We
just
have.
You don't have to be European for me. I need you to be my queen, my foundation, my rock, my strength. I got everything else covered. You ain't got to worry about nothing. If I got to give my life to mine, I'm gone. See ya.
Yeah, it's that. That's what, you know. We have to be the men that we are, and believe me, I want to live in full cooperation with the blessings and the treasures that we all have, and are, you know, it's so essential and it's so important that we maintain that, you know. So, Brother Braggs, now looking at what's going on, tie this all together with what's going on now, and where are we, you know, in your opinion today? How are we closer to realizing and reestablishing our sovereign nation, or are we much further back? In your opinion, what is
it? You know what?
Let me say
this, man. I see, because I think black. I think that we need to come internally to ourselves, man. We don't need nothing outside of ourselves right now. We need to get together, sit down, talk about things, and find out. Now, just think about this. Collectively, if you, I heard him talking about a million people. If you had a million people, the opportunities and the possibilities are endless. $1 for each person, you can do things. You can start things. You can hook up with the black farmer, get our food. You had the guy the other day with water. We can get water. We good then. I say I'm not materialistic. I need a roof over my head, And no. Food in my stomach, my animals be well, and my women to be well. I'm good. So I just need the basic thing, and then I need my mind to be right. That's most important. And saying that, let me say this before time gets too short. I spoke about the principle of Mahat when we first started. I just want to run this off right quick if it's all right, Dave.
Of course.
This is not religious. We're not trying to make you a Catholic or a Muslim. This is not religion. This is spirit out. I'm tongue tied today.
No, you good, man. Come on, man. I do this every day. Believe me, it's you can get tongue tied quickly. No, you're good. I don't judge you on the King's language. I judge you on, and I require that you just be the great spirit that you are. And brother, you already that. So no, that's just a tongue tying, brother. You've been dropping some real stuff here. So go ahead.
All right, I want to hit you with this philosophy of the Mahat Kemetic Soulism. Human behavior is an extension of thought. As to say, one thinks about the behavior act before he should or she commits to act. The conscious thought is a reflected image of some conscious spiritual concept of life that is in turn the spiritual purpose of life, God. Subsequently, behavior coincides with a particular perception of life that defines the spiritual God purpose of life and the role African people play in the spiritual purpose. In ancient Kemet, Egypt, the spiritual concept that included the principle called Ma'at, in which all of nature was balanced and day-to-day human life was measured. The principles of Mahat are truth, reciprocity, priority, order, balance, righteousness, justice, harmony. If we use a car, for example, Mahat would be the battery and the soul, Ba, of the African would be the engine. It makes no difference how powerful the engine is. The car will not start without the battery, Ba. The point is that Mahat and the soul work in conjunction with one another. However, the ability to comprehend thought and amplify the soul depends on how well one complies with the live thought behavior within the principles of Mahat. The spiritual concept also includes the knowledge of ancestral and geographical origin. The Kemetic origin defines the nature of African people who practice the principle of Mahat in geographical territory defined as Kemet, Egypt, where Mahat was acknowledged as the cornerstone of society. The spiritual concept includes the origin, purpose, and destination of the soul, of the human soul, the process of learning, defining, and teaching the purpose of the human soul, or soulism, is the true spiritual purpose of human soul. The process of defining the soul, or soulism, acts to strengthen our mind and body, which in turn allows us to elevate our consciousness a higher spiritual level where the goal ultimately is to become God, netter within God, netter. So God and nature, become God in nature. Okay, our committed ancestors understood that all of nature acted as a medium that connected the African to God, netter. The nature is broken down into three divisions or kingdoms, and the principle of Mahat, stability and balance, act as the glue that binds and protects all three kingdoms. Solar and celestial kingdom, plant and mineral kingdom, African humanity and animal, including fish, insects, birds, etc. Electromagnetic energy starting at the sun and ending at the human atom. African carried the purpose of the soul of God, netter, through all of nature and into the mind and body of the African because of its spiritual presence is active throughout nature. That's far as I'm going to go. I hope that gets some people to thinking, and I hope they look into some things other than this European concept of spirituality. Let's get into some serious stuff that changes your life, that changes our life, that changes the way that we think and that we move in this country, the way that we look at each other, because the 42 laws of Mahat, they're going to make you get better if you take them to heart. Mm. I'm through preaching, sir.
Hey, no.
I usually don't read like that. I'm sorry, man.
No. It's so needed, and I'm going to tell you, if you really, you look at it, that's not an economy, that's an ecosystem where real life is sustainable and everything is equitable in its life-givingness, in its necessity, in its overall, the overall sustainability is reliant on another. So this is truly an ecosystem and it's not an economy. An economy is what was made up to keep you from being free and independent.
Well,
Brother Bragg,
you know that they've monetized everything, and that's where the problem comes in. Everything is monetized. Mm-hmm. Once you monetize prison, you make it profitable, they're going to do all kinds of things to get that money. We got to take the profit out of things like that. There should be no profit in enslaving a man.
No. There should be no profit in that at all, because that in itself is the crime that it is the crime that creates the crime. You remember Mike Wallace, the hate that hate produced? Well, that's the mm-hmm. criminal that criminals produce.
And that's because that cause you, and effect again. Cause and effect.
Exactly.
And
the cause and effect.
But every action, there's a reaction. Cause and effect. And if you look at everything, if you look at it like that, scientific method. But go to the scientific method and just start questioning everything, and you will be surprised what you find. They don't want you to have an inquisitive mind. They want you to accept whatever is told to you. See, go ahead on and sit down over there and flip that remote and get you a biscuit or something.
Right. See, that's it right there, Brother Braggs. It's the acceptance of it instead of the question of it. They want you to have the acceptance of it instead of the question of it. And that's the only way. The only way that you're really going to ever grow in anything that you do is if you have questions and not just acceptance of it all. Because the questions allow you to exercise your understanding and your development so that you can work within the confines of the truth more honestly and more sincerely. If you just accept someone's, you know, agenda or accept what they say, that's a very dangerous. I don't care who that person is. You're not finding out anything for you. You're actually living their lives. And let me tell you, if you live someone else's life, they have two lives and you have none.
That's right. You got to live your own life. Be who
you got to live your own life. You know, a good friend of mine told me that. She learned that from her grandparents. Is that, think about it. If you live in someone else's life, they have two lives and you have none. And this is what we've been doing for so long. So, Brother Braggs, it's amazing. Now, and we have like 2 minutes. Actually, we have like 3 minutes left. What's some of the things that you would like to emphasize in this the slave codes, and just if you want to, you know, some of the books that you suggest to start from reading? What, because we're going to have the recommended reading by Professor Braggs, so we need to start that.
I'm gonna give you a couple of good ones right here. Sacred Knowledge in Plain Sight. Now look. This is on YouTube. This is
Say this again so everyone can have time.
Sacred Knowledge in Plain Sight. It's on YouTube. Okay. It was put on there February 6, 2012, decoded.
What is it about that book? Why that book, Brother Rag?
Oh, that's a film right there.
Oh, is this a film?
Knowledge.
Okay.
That goes into canon physics, sacred images. Oh my goodness, it's man. It goes into mathematics. It's like a couple hours, but it's thorough and it's man, it's a beautiful thing.
Okay.
And I was telling you guys earlier that looking at Titus Flavius, a Roman. Pull up Titus Flavius. He's a Roman. That'll blow your wig back. I just gave you Secrets in Plain Sight. I'm looking for my book list. I got some good books.
Yeah. Now a couple of books, Brother Rags, which you recommend for the listeners to read, and why would you recommend it? So that kind of.
Well, because I'm a seeker, I'm always trying to find out the origins of things. I'm trying to find out the beginning. Like for instance, I'm still trying to find out what transpired between the Egyptians and the Greeks and the Romans, because there's a blank gap right there. Once Alexander the Great comes through, they raid the library in Alexandria, then suddenly you get all these Greek philosophers who have all these works and writings that they didn't do because they didn't have time to do it.
They plagiarized.
So they plagiarized everything. And see, this is what people got. If people knew, and see, our people, black people, Africans, this is your world, brother. You got to wake up. It's all around you. All you got to do is dig. Nobody's going to tell you. Nobody's going to help you educate yourself. You got to be the teacher of self. guess what? To be a master, you had to go to the mystery system for 45 years. Not one of those Greek philosophers finished the mystery school. Not one of them. So they wasn't masters. They were plagiarizers.
Wow,
that's
amazing.
That's what reading will do for you. That's what digging will do for you.
Amazing, okay. Amazing. Brother Braggs, I just want to thank you, brother. Now, listen, we have to do this again. So when we do this again, I would like to really look at some of the overall societal connections in the cultures and different societies.
You want to go into the Greek and the Romans for real? Man, now that gets to be X-rated, because I got a book here called 100 Years of Homosexuality.
No, I don't want to go into that. Not me.
But listen, this is the new ancient world. Now look, this tells you, this gets into why these boys failed. You know what I'm saying? Why they failed, because you can't have your army in there molesting each other.
Not me.
That's the destruction of Rome and Greece, that lifestyle. It's many
right,
things.
Right,
and I was wondering why the high schools, and I keep this Tamahu. I can't pin the Tamahu down. I'm trying to pin these guys down. I read one thing about the Portuguese, that they ran upon these people that were so fierce. They left a whole island to these people, because when they caught you, they ate you. These guys were that fierce.
Yeah. Tastes like pork chop.
So, that kind of stuff. It's interesting, because I want to know who these people are. Cause where
right,
are these
right. You know what, Brother Brett? I tell you, what I would love to hear you is, let's start with the Dogons.
Okay, you'll get into some serious Dogons.
Yeah, let's start with the Dogons. So we got to get ready to get out of here, Brother Braggs. I just want to thank you, Professor Braggs. See, I just did it, Professor Braggs. I just want to thank you for coming on, and you brought so much in. Like, as Brother Braggs said, the quote of the day: think black. Think black in everything. So I just want to thank everyone for listening. And, you know, like we always say, before you ask for a blessing, make sure to be a blessing. Before you ask for love, be a lover of all. Especially be a lover of you and everything like you. It's so essential.
Right.
So until then, thank you so much. We'll talk to you later. And God willing.
Peace.
Peace.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing. And you know tenderness comes.